Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Hi, good afternoon, Zweli.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you and your listeners.
Yes, compliments of the new year, man. How are you doing?
We're doing fantastic. First day back at work, well, officially.
Man. Very high hopes indeed. Did you enjoy your festive season?
Oh, most definitely. It was fun. Got to spend a lot of time down in East London.
Oh, yeah?
All the way up to Plettenberg, so I enjoyed myself.
Oh,
and you?
Fantastic. I had a good one, man. I stayed put, had a lot to do. You know when you've got a lot to do around the house and there's no time, and then you find time in December. And man. Yeah, but it's been a fantastic one.
As long as you prioritize your mental health, we're happy.
Oh, yes. Definitely. Now, we're talking about safeguarding the learner's mental health, talking about that mental health. And the importance of mental health cannot be stressed enough, really, from childhood through adolescence up to adulthood. Now, poor mental health does not necessarily mean that you will be diagnosed with a mental illness. However, it may be detrimental to your overall physical health and other spill over to other areas as well. Now, Zweli, how important is it for learners to safeguard their mental health during the academic season? I mean, it's already starting this week.
Well, this safeguarding of the mental health is extremely important. I mean, going back to school brings about excitement, but it also does bring about stress.
Yeah.
And one thing we have to take note of is the rates of depression, anxiety, and loneliness are only increasing amongst students.
Mm.
So with regards to our conversation today, parents do play a very key role in supporting their children, as well as the school environment.
Mm, 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 mm. So you're saying that is it parents who have got to make sure that the mental health is a cure, or it's dependent on the learner themselves, supported by the child? What are you saying?
It's parents who are supposed to support their child in being able to, number one, recognize the emotions that they're feeling,
okay,
and develop resilience towards these feelings or unfortunate circumstances that they might come across. So this can be done through them instilling positive coping mechanisms, you know, ones such as mindfulness, regular exercise, journaling, and setting realistic expectations for themselves throughout the year. So really, it's a codependent kind of work where the parent does play a key role, because at the end of the day, when they go home, they look to support from their parents as much as they've been at school the whole day.
Now tell me, can a learner avoid completely the mental health stresses, like altogether, or they're just part of the course when it comes to education?
So I want to differentiate between normal stress and when one's mental well-being is at risk.
Mm.
So normal stress is the natural response to a situation. So this can sometimes help you stay alert and focused, but it can bring about some negative symptoms. Maybe you might feel headaches, dizziness, or muscle tension, you know, but it shouldn't be to the point of it being alarming.
Mm.
Now, when your mental well-being is at risk, it's usually a sign of a serious condition that affects your thoughts, your feelings, and behaviors. And oftentimes, this is when stress becomes chronic or overwhelming. So hence, when we ask parents to look out for the signs and symptoms, usually these symptoms would be a drop in school functioning or general functioning, problems with concentration, and even mood swings. So when looking at those symptoms, it should be over a prolonged period to, you know, justify it as a case of their mental well-being being at risk.
Mm. Now, how can one juggle very quickly and say, okay, I'm talking now about the learner themselves, to say, no, this one is actually just normal stress, and this one is not good stress. How do they do that? Are they able to tell?
Well, you should be able to tell because of your own intuition. You know, being aware involves being aware of your emotions, your thoughts, and your feelings. So when you practice things such as mindfulness, when you take time to breathe and take time to recognize your feelings and emotions internally, then you can kind of assess your emotions to say, yeah, I've been feeling sad for quite some time. However, I'm not sure where it stems from. I'm not sure how to deal with this. And perhaps that there's no resolution that I have on my own in being able to cope with this. This is when you start seeking for help outside of yourself, you know. So it really does have to do with one's own strengths, being their ability to be aware of their own feelings and thoughts.
Yeah, true. Now, Zweli, before I let you go, man, I'd like you to, if you can, give us some tips of how to safeguard one's mental well-being. I mean, it's early in the year. There are certain things that are going to be coming up in the year, you know, tests, examinations, and maybe some other things that are going to be coming up. What are the tips so that, you know, the learners can actually say, okay, let me be prepared. Uncle Zweli has actually given us these tips, etc. Please do help us with that.
So before the tips, I just want parents or teachers even to be aware of some warning signs. You know, if there's prolonged sadness, you know, extensive irritability, social withdrawal or absenteeism, or that difficulty concentrating and these things last longer than, you know, 1 to 2 weeks, then you know, there's a cause for concern there.
Okay.
And one important thing I want to raise is oftentimes, you know, some people may just skip over a child's comment when they say, I'm feeling suicidal, or I'm having suicidal thoughts. I'd like us to take such comments very seriously, you know, because this is them, you know, reaching out and asking for help. It's not always them seeking attention. So some tips that I would give students mainly is review the yearly school calendar. Look, take note of what's important, the exams that are coming up, maybe anxiety-provoking events, maybe it's open days or concerts or whatever it may be. Have a look at that. Organize your school supplies. I know we've already started, and if you haven't done that, please do organize yourself, meaning your books, have them covered. I mean, something as little as covering our books makes us feel prepared, you know. Take opportunities to meet and get to know your teachers. This one is so vital, something I wish I had done, which I did not do, despite teachers reaching out to me. Take advantage of your teachers. They're not there to bite you. They're there to help you. And then with your parents or even your classmates, talk about your school day and your schedules and the expectations that might come about during that day, just so that you are better prepared. And some things that I like doing as well is setting your bedtimes and waking up times, just so that you have a routine. So you always need to practice your routine so that you get used to the, you know, these habit-forming rituals that help you maintain consistency. Another thing which I like, which I think might be overlooked, is look at the school safety protocols. You know, oftentimes they do mention if your child is not feeling well or whatever, there's a counselor that you can speak to, or go and talk to this teacher who's in charge of this. You know, make sure to reach out, look at those safety protocols so that you're aware of where to get, you know, that first aid mental health assistance. Then at home, just ask your child how they're feeling. You know, active listening is so important and might very well be overlooked.
Now, do you think that having practiced all of these, you know, learners are guaranteed to evade mental health issues?
Look, there's no one remedy, and it also depends on your consistency and the kind of experience you're going through. Everyone is different, and their reaction to a traumatic event or stressors is very different. So this is why these things like having habits formed, like the routines, sleeping well, going outside, having social interactions, you know, help people to be able to be calm, you know, to have a support system around them. These are all things that can help you through those times when you're stressed. And if you feel that it's not enough, that's when you go and you seek help from a professional. They'll be able to use whichever sorts of therapies. Oftentimes we hear of CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, Or maybe your child might even need drug therapy, whether it's Ritalin or antidepressants, but really it's a professional who can guide you to that point. Hence, I wanted to emphasize those warning signs of when the mental well-being is at risk.
Now, you know, Zweli, sometimes this life is unpredictable, and the worst sometimes can, you know, happen. Loss of a loved one, it got nothing to do with school, but, you know, something that happens at home, perhaps a loss of a loved one, somebody very close. Is there a way to bounce back in an academic year? Because some may say, yeah, no, you can bounce back, and some will say, oh, man, that academic year is lost.
Most oftentimes you'd need time out for yourself, time to understand what you're feeling, time to process the event. And like I said, again, it's really up to how an individual copes with stress. Somebody might lose their grandmother last week and bounce right back into school. Some other person, their grandmother might have been the only person there to assist them, and it might take them longer to recover. So I think the main thing is, during this time of grieving, if that's the case, just try and avoid unhealthy ways of managing stress. Uh-huh. As much as these are kids, we know that alcohol abuse, tobacco use and drugs, or even excessive eating is something that children can do. So I think a priority in that time would be avoiding unhealthy ways of managing stress, and then using those positive and healthy coping strategies to help them bounce back. So to answer in short, I don't think that the academic year is lost. It's just going to take some work on your part to be able to bounce back. And it's not going to happen by sleeping the entire day, but it will happen by, you know, starting to talk, by taking care of yourself, and finding that support system that can help you through this difficult time.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, we want to wish all of the learners this year, at whatever level that they are, a very best of the year. And as well, Mkhai, always available. Thank you so much, sir, to come and join us and, you know, preparing us mentally as we, you know, look at the year ahead academically. That is, thank you so much for your time.
Blessed New Year to you and your listeners.
Thank you so much. Blessings to you.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.